Hello, and welcome to Living Vertical Radio, where we change the narrative of media by introducing you to creative and innovative individuals that inspire you with their unique stories. Our host is Cystine Duckworth, and you can call in or Skype into this program by calling 1-646-668-2928 #1. Please make sure your surrounding area is quiet because this is a live program. One Sure Sign Mobile Notary of Frisco, Texas provides professional notary service across the Dallas metro area. Our notary professionals are ready to help you with loan closings, power of attorney, fingerprinting, and other notary services. We meet you at your location of choice, your home, office, hospital, or local coffee shop, convenient to your schedule. Reliable, professional, and affordable. One Sure Sign is happy to support Living Vertical Radio here in Texas. Mention you heard this ad on Living Vertical for $5 off any notary service. Interested in advertising on our podcast with a listening audience of over 800,000? You can do a 15-second business ad, a 30-second radio ad, or a 10-minute interview radio ad. Our prices start out at $50. Contact us at info@verticalmediagroup.com. Our pricing is made to give everyone the ability to advertising no matter the budget. Thank you. And here's your host, Cystine Duckworth.
Hi, everyone. Happy Saturday. I hope everybody is doing well. And I'm really excited to have our guest today. But first, I want to just say that Living Vertical Radio just made the featured list for Blog Talk, and we're like, yay! So consistency works. That's all I can say. So today on Taste of Ink, we are welcoming Nancy Height. Nancy is a certified financial planner, fiduciary, and author. She is also the founder of the Strategic Wealth Advisor, located in Boca Raton, Florida. She offers forthright advice and has fiduciary duty to provide meaningful and workable options to help her clients prepare for and enjoy the current and future chapters of their life. Today, we are talking about her book, The Retirement Mirage. And the synopsis for this is for The Retirement Mirage is to don't be fooled by the retirement mirage. Are you still buying into the retirement mirage, hoping that once you stop working, your life will be a perpetual enjoyment, exploration, and pleasant experience? It's time to think differently. And I agree with her. With technology, we are all living longer and healthier and more vibrant. We're traveling. So does your financial wellness look like it should? So today I am happy to welcome Nancy Height and to our program today. And we're going to ask her some questions about her book, but we're also going to talk a little bit, some questions about that, you know, you might have asked me and that we just made a list to ask Nancy. So welcome, Nancy, to A Taste of Ink Live.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be with you this afternoon. Excuse me, I'm in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. You're in Texas, so we have something in common. Plus, I want to know, I was listening to your award that you recently got, and consistency is the key to financial success. So it goes across the board, and I want you to know that was a perfect introduction.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, I'm actually in Arizona today. And I think we have a pleasant 95 degrees today. So there, something like that.
Well, we're a little cooler, but it is sunny and beautiful for the holiday weekend. And I just want your listeners to know helping people is my passion. I love what I do, and I take pride in getting to know all of my clients very well because all my clients become friends as well as part of my extended family. As a widow, I understand the emotional and financial issues that are created by this unexpected event. And because cooking is a hobby of mine, I use the analogy of breaking down the financial planning process step by step, just as one does with a recipe, so that the process is not overwhelming, but is actually enjoyable. KISS,
well, you know,
simple, sweet.
Well, you know what?
These are the only things you can do with money. Spend it now.
Well, this is great. This is great to talk to you.
Spend it never.
Mm-hmm. Right. I saw that on your model, and I thought that was fantastic.
Well, thank you. But as I said, we do not do brain surgery. We try to keep it simple and usable and practical and optimistic.
Well, this is a good time to talk to you, Nancy, because I have been really educating my family on what I know of financial wellness. And a lot of people in my, I would say, that grew up in the time that I did, especially women, we weren't really taught a lot about financial wellness. So what I've learned over the years, and I'm a late bloomer as far as being able to start doing something about that. So let's talk about why you wrote the Retirement Mirage.
Well, I wrote the book because of what I was seeing happening in the real world. I was getting very angry about what the local advertisements, when I say local, I mean the national advertisements about retirement. No matter which ad you see from which company, they're always telling you they have a product that's going to solve all your problems. And as a certified financial planner and a fiduciary, I said, look, I've got to get to people and have them understand the 21st century, things have changed. I don't talk anything about products in the book. What we all know, we only have a lease on life, and yet we don't know how long that lease is. There are no guarantees. And due to the medical breakthroughs and healthier lifestyles, many of us are going to live much longer than we ever anticipated. And it was my job as a trained, experienced, certified financial planner and fiduciary to make sure you don't run out of money before you run out of time. So I had a lot of clients. I've helped hundreds of clients over the years, and many of them would say to me, why don't you put together some of your ideas in a book? And I'd say, a book? I don't know anything about writing a book. Anyway, they got after me long enough, and, of course, we've had the slowdown as far as being in the office over the last year. And I said, maybe this is a good time to take some stories that my clients and experiences have had. I've changed the names. And what I've done is to address some of the financial issues that we all come across, whether it be credit card debt, you've got four or five credit cards, which one do you pay down first, or should I even pay down anything? Should I go bankrupt? In the modern world, our values have changed to many extent. We have a lot of people, young people living together, but we have people 65 years old living together. They don't want to get married. And what are the financial issues involved with that? And so there are many different areas that happen in the 21st century that didn't happen to our parents and grandparents. And as a fiduciary, I don't sugarcoat my advice. I tell you the truth about retirement in the 21st century and show you how to prepare and live a truly great retirement if that's your goal. My advice is practical with an optimistic tone, and if there's anything we need in today's world, it's optimism.
That's very, very true. So tell me, is there hope for someone that's over the age of 50 to create some type of financial retirement plan for themselves?
Well, as the title of the book says, Retirement Mirage. It may be a mirage in the sense of totally retiring. Let's take a little history lesson about when did Social Security come in. When Roosevelt set up Social Security, everybody who worked had a pension. Everybody had savings. They worked till they died. And Social Security was supposed to be the frosting on the cake. Now, 90 years later, very few of us have pensions unless you work for a government organization. And we have Social Security, but it was only supposed to last 4 or 5 years. Then you were supposed to die when you were 70. Now we're living to 100, which is not unusual. And we just now the only thing left is frosting on the cake.
Right. That's true. And isn't it true as well, though, that a lot of people have had to dig into their retirement due to becoming disability, being disabled? Right. So they're having to dig in for that. So what is your
Now, one of the things that I know that has created a lot of stress in people's lives. They've had to borrow against their retirement plans. I suggest even to parents, if you have children, encourage their hobbies, whether it's cooking, whether it's building, scaffolding, no matter what it is, playing golf, playing any sport, encourage your children to maintain their hobbies, because as you get older, if you have a hobby that you've cultivated, and even if you're 50 years old, you could go and teach or coach younger people in all the skills that you know. Let's say you're a golfer and you love to, as your working years, you love to belong to a golf club. But as you get towards retirement age, you say, I'm not going to be able to afford this. But you could get a job as a ranger and be around people who play golf and get free golf. Or you could teach golf skills to young people that are in high school or in grammar school. The same thing with baking. There are so many things that we do for our hobbies that we love that we could turn into some extra income. So to answer your question, yes, there are people, whether you're 50 or 60 or 40, encourage your hobbies, cultivate them, and you will always have a way to make a few extra, couple of hundred bucks extra all the time and love what you're doing.
That's good advice. So, and how can we avoid the credit trap? And this is a question because I hear people saying, oh, you know, I need to get a credit card to establish my credit. And I just really wonder about that sometimes. I'm like, so we have to go into debt to get a credit score to get things that we want. It just doesn't make sense to me. So how do we avoid the credit trap?
You know, you made a very good statement. We have to get a credit card to get things that we want. And one of the first things that I work on with people is I say, look, when you go to buy something, take 15 or 20 seconds and ask yourself a question. Do I need this or do I want this? And after doing that for about 2 weeks, you're going to find out just by your own mental evaluation that you don't need it. And if you don't need it, I mean, you do need it, but you might want it, but you might not be able to have it and then do everything else you want to do. So let's take care of the things you absolutely need first. Now, if you have to have those new sneakers that all your friends are wearing and they're going to talk about you if you don't have it, okay, buy them. Not a problem. But just realize there's only so much money in the pot. You buy those sneakers, you won't have money for something else. If you have to have a credit card, which you don't have to have to get credit, you have a bank account, a savings account, that establishes some level of credit. You can pay off the credit card, and I'm going to give you some advice that I give to my clients. Let's stop putting money in the 401k or the IRA for the next couple of months, and let's take that money and pay down the credit card. Pick the one with the highest interest first, because if you're paying 14-15% interest, it's costing you more to buy that product on the credit card than you're ever earning inside your 401k. Unless you bought Bitcoin at $6 a share, you're not making $14, $15 on a 15% on your account. So take the money you have, hold off on the 401ks and IRAs, and take that money and start paying down the credit cards. That's the first way to get started. Then your money will start working.
Which is that's great advice that you're saying, because that we were looking at buying a bed for my daughter, and it was just crazy that, you know, they were saying, you know, well, you know, you could pay this off in 90 days or 6 months, and if you wait a year to pay it off, it's going to cost twice. And we were like, that doesn't make sense.
And now you've got the whole thing. You just want to take 20. The advertising is terrific, and it entices us to do all kinds of things that we do, and we might enjoy owning them, but the consequences to our bank accounts and to our financial stability just goes down the drain. The second thing you want to do, again, before you start worrying about your retirement money, which you're not going to see for years, is to let's get at least 6 months of living expenses sitting in the bank, and I know it's not going to earn much interest, but let's get it sitting there. So let's say it costs you $1,000 a month for all your expenses. The next thing you have to do after you pay down your credit cards is let's save up 6 months of living expenses so that no matter what happens, and we went through this with the COVID this year, you're going to have extra money that you can use to pay for the emergencies. I have clients that have a year of expenses saved up. Now, it wasn't easy, and it took time, but their stress level has been reduced to such an extent that if they get an offer for a job that is less than they're currently making, they have no, and the new job has opportunity that they would never have in their current job, they have no problem taking the job. They just go into the emergency fund, take what extra money they need, and they are very happy campers. So it provides you with financial stability to really get control of your life. If you have an emergency fund, if you pay down your credit card, you're going to feel like a load has been lifted off your back.
Oh, wow. Well, Nancy, let me ask you this question. Is life insurance worth it anymore? Is it worth to buy life insurance anymore? Or would it be, or would your money be better spent to invest it into something that would later on give you dividends?
That's an interesting question. I mentioned earlier that we have only, all of us only have a lease here. We don't know when our time is up. If you have somebody that you're looking to protect, a spouse, a child, somebody important to you and your family, nothing is less costly than life insurance. Now, there's all different types of insurance, and we don't have time to get into it today. But certainly, I'm licensed in many states across the country. You can check out my website, get in touch with me, thestrategicwealthadvisor.com.
Okay.
You can check it out, and I will be happy to answer your personal questions with no cost to you at all. So if you have a question or two about life insurance, I think life insurance is a wonderful investment. And if you buy the right type of life insurance, it can also provide you with dividends which you're not aware of.
So listeners out there, you heard what Nancy said. You could go to her website, and you will be able to ask her this question. So I want you to remember that, and I will be advertising that with along with her website. Now, I was on your website, and I saw some very interesting things on there, and I did go through the book a little bit. But I wanted to ask you, this was a very interesting chapter in your book, and maybe you could tell us a little bit why. It's a dilemma. So what is the millennial dilemma?
The millennial dilemma is the many things you've already mentioned about having credit card debt. Should I buy the life insurance or should I take the money and invest it? Don't forget, with life insurance, you're guaranteed the outcome as soon as you put the first $3 in or $1 in. Okay, you have a death benefit. You also have growth. You're never going to have that in the market. Look, the volatility that we've seen lately, and I manage money. So I want you to know, the market DNA is volatility. If you have problems with volatility, we have to be careful. So that's one of the issues with millennials. It's also teaching your children about financial education. How do we get them started? I'll give you just one little tidbit on that. Let's say you have a young child, four, five years old, 6 years old. When you go marketing, you usually put the child in the carriage, and they're sitting at eye level as you're going down the aisles looking for things. Let's say you normally buy chocolate chip cookies for the family, but this day there's a sign, and you tell the child, look, I want you to look for all the signs that are either yellow or red because those are the ones that are always on sale. And the child is busy having a game, pointing out all the different signs of the different colors. Now, you come across some chocolate chip cookies that are on with the yellow sign on sale, and it's not your brand. And you say to the child, we're going to try a different chocolate chip cookie. This one is going to save us some money, so we're going to have some extra money. So when we go shopping after this for ice cream, we'll have enough money to buy you an ice cream cone. And so the child, first of all, learns that buying things on sale is not a, is a good idea, not a bad idea. And secondly, that gives you some extra money to do some other things you're going to love to do. And that's a four-year-old child. And you'll find after the first or second time the child will want to be picking out the signs and buying things on sale. That's how we, through osmosis and behavior modification, teach young children about the value of money, that there isn't a bottomless pit.
Now, I will say, and it's so amazing when I get a chance to spend time with my children, because it's amazing at how much they learned growing up. And I remember my oldest, I actually gave her my check one day, and I was like, okay, I want you to go, and here's the bills that we pay every month, and you'll have to buy groceries with what's ever left. And she did a really good job, but we had hamburger for like about a couple of weeks.
I don't think she could get the hamburgers today with today's prices.
No, but I don't think so. I don't think so. But my youngest daughter, she is a huge fashion person. And what is so interesting when I go visit her is that she has found all the best thrift stores to shop at. This girl rarely buys anything brand new. But always looks like she has walked out of the most expensive store.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I don't remember the last time I bought a new automobile off the showroom floor. What I normally do is decide which automobile I want to buy or drive, and then I will go and find one that's just coming off a 3-year lease that has very low mileage. I'll buy an extended warranty, and the car, I can pick out almost any color I want, exterior, interior, whatever extras I want on the car, I can usually find on one coming off a lease. And you can say, let's say the car was $60,000 on the showroom floor, it's $25,000 or $30,000 after it comes off a lease. So right away, you're saving money. And you can do this with a lot of different items in your life.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to be a certified financial planner, and what does it mean to be an independent certified financial planner?
Well, being an independent financial planner or independent almost in any industry means that you are not tied to a particular company where you have to push their products. So being independent and a fiduciary on top of that means that when somebody comes to me with some financial issues, the client and the person come first. What is their problems? What different solutions are available that will help them reach their goal and reach their dreams? And so it doesn't make any difference to me which company, if it has to be a product I use. I have access as an independent, and with all, I have more credentials and letters in my name, that there isn't any product out there that I don't have access to. What that does for the client is it allows him to realize, or her to realize, that I'm not what they call a captive, that with my experience and knowledge, I can go into the grocery store and pick the right items that are going to make the recipe come out correctly. And mm-hmm. So this is very important. Being certified means that I've gone through several years of training beyond just the regular financial to see how does money work in the real world. What is the reality? People have a paycheck, but many times they're giving 10, 15, 20% or more to the government before they even get their paycheck home. So how do we handle that? How do we handle the issues of rent? How do we handle living together? Many people living together today, young people and people 65 are living together and they're not married. That creates certain mm-hmm. financial issues. Should you have a joint right. account, any separate account? So all of these different kinds of problems that people face financially, a certified financial planner has gone through and had extra training in many of these different areas. Most advisors are not certified financial planners, nor are they fiduciaries. So that's like going to the Internet sometimes and getting medical help. It's not uh-huh. exactly where your medical decisions right. to be made.
Right, right. So with COVID and everything that people have gone through, losing jobs, losing money, is it possible to bounce back financially?
Well, it's like anything else. If we're in a hole, the last thing we want to do is to continue to dig the hole. We have to
right.
try to crawl. We should have learned some important financial lessons. One of the ones that I mentioned earlier was the importance of an emergency fund. We should mm-hmm. be working full time, and full time is not necessarily 38 hours a week. You might have to have two jobs. But if one of those jobs is really a job you love, you won't even look at it as a job. You'll look forward to going to it. I happen to be fortunate. I love what I do. I'm never going to retire. But there are many of us out there that we go to work because we need the paycheck. We really don't want to be there. So let's try to spend some time thinking about what do we really love to do. As I mentioned before, it might be a hobby. See if you can find a way to make some extra money with your hobby to help you get out of the financial hole you're in. I understand it's true for a lot of people. It's frustrating, and it can be devastating. But be optimistic. Yes, you can get back. Don't lose your dreams. I want you to keep your dreams and just know maybe it'll take you a couple more years to get there. But it isn't realistic for you to think you're going to retire even before COVID. It's 62 or 65, and if you're basically healthy, then you're going to live another 35 years on the amount of money you saved. It's not possible, even if you were a saver. And I give you an example of why that is true, and it's not. It just kind of brings it back to reality. Let's say, and I'm going to just use round numbers. If your income, if your living expenses are less, you can cut it in half. But let's say you need $100,000 to do everything you want to do. You don't have a mortgage. Your kids are grown up. You're not supporting them. And if you and your significant other or spouse, you could get along on that very nicely. Let's say I could get you a 5% CD. Which we can't do today, but we could. How much cash mm-hmm. would you have to put in the CD so that the interest at 5% would be $100,000?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the answer to that is $2 million, and you could not
wow.
spend the principal because you wouldn't have the $100,000, and that doesn't include inflation and taxes. So you need $3 mm-hmm. to $4 million in I don't know too many people that are going to have that. And that's why we and don't talk about health care costs. Those are off the chart, okay? So, and once you stop working, you don't have health care except Medicare. And that doesn't pay for everything you want. It only pays for what Medicare wants you to have, okay?
Right.
So, so I don't want you to be depressed that you've used some of your money, or maybe all of it. The idea of retiring is not really a 21st century concept the way it was for your parents and grandparents, basically because of longevity in health. You look, modern medicine can replace knees, hips, things they couldn't do years ago. Okay. My dad died when he was 58 due to a staph infection. They didn't have the drugs back then. Okay. All things have changed. All right, so realizing that you are going to have to work longer, you're going to have to, but working on your hobby is never really work. It's something you love to do. Okay, so very positive. You can get it done and keep your dreams.
Well, I like what you said. This has been a great interview. One of my last comments was that I have some friends that actually moved out the country. And they moved out the country so they could have more of their retirement money to use rather than stay here. So they moved down to Ecuador, and they both just love it to death. And even one of them loved to cook. So she opened up a catering business down there, and is doing very well for herself. But living much cheaper than she would live in America. And it was very interesting because they were saying that there's just no stress anymore. You know, they don't have the stress and anxiety that they might have had here. So it's just been very interesting to meet a lot of the retirees or older individuals just decided that, you know, I'm gonna go down here and live, and it's much cheaper, and I can afford it on my thing, but then I can start new passions and new dreams. So it's been wonderful talking to you because, you know, your passion is also part of what you're saying is that, hey, you know, be very optimistic, enjoy this life, and, you know, enjoy what you do. So, I mean, I love it. I love it because it's gone past it's gone past that stereotype in our brain that says you work till this age and then you retire at this age, you know, and you don't feel like retiring.
those rules really, no more than you're going to go back to a plug-in phone. It's not going to happen. Okay.
Right.
Those days are gone. No matter what happens, you may still have the old plug in the wall, but nobody's using it for the telephone. Okay.
Right.
So you're not back to a phone. Retirement the way your parents or grandparents did is also not going to happen again. You're going to have to continue. And look, people that win the lottery, we have found out they run out of money in about 3 years. So it isn't the amount of money. It's the way you look at it, and that's why I say there's only three things you can do with money. Spend it now, spend it later, or spend it never. You're going to give it to your children, your grandchildren, or to charity. And if you just ask yourself the question when you go to buy something, do I need it or do I want it, and give yourself time to answer it, you will find you will end up buying less of those frivolous things. You need to have the comforts of life. And then after that, the comforts become extravagant when you start to think about it. We found in COVID, when was the last time we ended up buying new clothes? We didn't need them. We weren't going out. When was the time women ended up putting their makeup on? The makeup drawer needs to be re-gone through. And how much do we have in there that we haven't used? Okay?
That's very true.
So, I mean, I find myself.
Well, I stuff up. I'm like, I'm always like, have you looked at it in the last 6 months? No. Get rid of it.
Now you've got it, okay? So these are the things we start to realize when we have a catastrophe like we had, and we're still going through it in many areas of the country, that we get mm-hmm. along with a lot. And basically we're going to be happier if we could just get out and go to a movie or play golf or tennis or be with our friends. It isn't a matter of buying something new. That's not going to make us happy. And let me mm-hmm. end with just one statement, if I may. There's a big difference between being rich and being wealthy. A rich person mm-hmm. has that car that is $750 a month on the lease, which they can hardly afford. They have to have the latest sneakers, the latest the bow tie, whatever it is, the latest haircut. And when we have something like a pandemic, they run out of money. A wealthy person yeah. doesn't care what the next person thinks. They live their life the way they're comfortable. They don't necessarily have to go to the most expensive restaurants. They're very happy. And they're the ones that really have the money. And we all know people that are wealthy, and we say, why aren't they living in a bigger house? Why aren't they going here and there? And they're happy campers, and they have plenty of money to do whatever they want. And many times the rich person ends up, and you read about them, and they've lost their money, and they don't have anything because they care about what other people think. Don't care about mm-hmm. what other people think. Live for yourself and what makes you happy.
Great. Great, great, great. Well, Nancy Hite's book, The Retirement Mirage, Time to Think Differently, is available at Amazon right now. And you can go to her website. It's HITE-SWA.com, the Strategic Wealth Advisor. You can see her resources, her workshops, and you can also ask her a question. So this is a good time to think about financial wellness.
Ask me a question, that would be great.
Great, great. So any last thoughts that you'd like to leave us with, Nancy?
The book is on Amazon. It was number one last month. It's in paperback. And I want you to know you can pick the book up. You read one chapter on one particular area, whether it be credit card debt or living together and the financial issues or whatever. You can put the book down, pick it back up. It's a group of different stories that I think will – one of the things that makes it very different from other books on financial planning. And you don't need any financial knowledge to pick up the book and gain some information from it.
Well, thank you again, Nancy, and I hope to be able to have you again on our program. And definitely we're going to have her in Vertical Life magazine. So those of you that are looking at the magazine, we will share it on there. And please share this podcast with your friends and get in contact with Nancy. This is a great time to do it. Do not be in despair. Stay optimistic. There is a way for you. And thank you again, Nancy. We are so happy to have you on our program today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed the time with you. And if you have even in your magazine, if you have some questions you want me to answer on a regular basis, I'll be happy to do that for you.
Oh, thank you so much. I will get in touch with you about that. Have a wonderful day, Nancy, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, and happy holidays to everybody.
Everyone, thank you for our support, and please share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for making this program possible, and thank you for making it possible for us to be a featured podcast now. And have a great Saturday and a great Easter. Take care.
Thank you to our faithful listeners. This has been Living Vertical Radio, and you have been listening to our host, Cecine Duckworth. Stay tuned to our next program. Interested in getting your business in front of a worldwide audience? Contact info@verticalmediagroup.com. That's info@verticalmediagroup.com for details. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Books that make you laugh. Books that make you scream. Books that make you hope. And books that make you dream. What's on your bookshelf? Discover the books that make you who you are on booksthatmakeyou.com. Read book reviews. Meet the authors who pour their souls into the books you love. And enter to win bookish prizes. If you're a bibliophile, then Books That Make You is your new best friend. Visit booksthatmakeyou.com or find us on Insta and Facebook.